Yeah, buddy. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great time checking out the show. We got Mavs Talk coming up at 6:20. And right now, a discussion about what is quickly becoming the hottest team in baseball and the team that nobody wants to face going into the post-All-Star portion. It's the Texas Rangers. Here's Wolchuk with that proper round tripper brought to you by Uber Eats.
Yeah, look out, Major League Baseball. You've been put on notice. Rangers are the hottest team in the league. And right now, as we kind of look ahead to the weekend slate against the Astros, the Rangers probable starters against Houston. And they got to win it tonight. Michael Lorenzen's on the bump. You got to feel good about that. He's been really good looking for the sweep against the Halos. But then on Friday night, it's going to be Andrew Heaney. Heen Dog's been pitching well. On Saturday, it's Evo, Nathan Eovaldi.
My goodness.
Sunday is to be announced.
Okay.
Might be Scherzer. Might be Scherzer coming back, right?
I think it's going to be a Scherzer Gray combo is my potential guess, because obviously it's the last day going into the All-Star break. You could put John Gray into the bullpen. Sean McFarland said Sunday, as things have gone, it would be John Gray's turn in the rotation, but Scherzer could pitch. Or I don't know that they would do this.
It's be on normal rest, right?
It would be. Could it be a Tyler Mahle day?
See, I was going to ask you about that. How close are we?
I think we're getting close.
But I think they
would wait for that until post-All-Star break.
I watched John Gray the other day have a really bad inning, and luckily the Rangers came rallying back.
That's why Sunday, with how Scherzer's been pitching, and then you have Gray who could pitch out of the bullpen if you need him to.
I
like Scherzer going on Sunday, because these are now like games you got to have them.
Wasn't it last time we saw Scherzer pitch in Houston, that playoff series? And he came out of the game because of the back.
I think it was game 7.
Yeah.
In the ALCS.
Was it game 7?
I think so.
But I just remember he coming out of the game. Yeah. And we're all like, oh, no, please. Yeah.
But he's been pitching really well right now.
I put him back out there.
I would, too. And then you've got options, right? Like, it's pretty much all hands on deck. You're off for a week after that. So if you don't want him to go, you know, he can go 4 or 5 innings, whatever.
Sure.
And then here's John Gray. And Gray's done well coming out of the bullpen, really. He's kind of seemed more comfortable.
If it's a chance to win the series, I'm pitching.
I'm doing
Scherzer.
It. Yeah, absolutely. No question. Shout out to Adolis Garcia. If you missed it, he will be in next week's Home Run Derby. As this is back-to-back years, the reigning ALCS MVP will be taking part in this. He did it last year in Seattle. Hit 17 dingers in the first round before he lost to Randy Arozarena, his good buddy. But now he's going to be doing it at home against Pete Alonso, Bobby Witt Jr., Alec Bohm. Garcia is currently tied for 13th in the American League in homers. But you look at the odds right now, I think Pete Alonso going for his third win in the Derby, probably your favorite, but I like Adolis Garcia's chances in front of the home crowd. Question is, who's going to be throwing to him? Is it Tony Beasley again?
You know, if
it's going to be me.
Tony Beasley is one of the most liked guys in all of baseball.
He's such a great dude.
And I think the guys love him, and if he asks, I don't think it's one that you say no to. I think you're just like, yeah, you know, we'll make the most out of this, buddy. Let's have a great time.
Probably you're right. I just want to win this thing. I'm starting to get competitive, and I don't think Bees is the guy to do it.
You know, as competitive as I am, I would be like, hey, Bees, we got to have a tryout here.
Yeah.
You know? Let's just see if I hit more bomb skis off somebody else.
Yeah,
no offense.
Let's get Rags out there. Let's get Will Venables out there. Yeah. Hell, Boach, you want to loosen up the arm a little bit, huh? Come on.
Boach.
I do think I stand by this.
I mean, hell, Max Scherzer, you know, the home run rate for this guy. He's freaking lights out unless the guy hits a home run. So maybe, I don't know, maybe Max would be your guy.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Max would be the guy. This is good news on Jacob deGrom. We talked about Mahle coming back. Now, Mahle did pitch yesterday and was really good in his another rehab start. So, like, Mahle is getting closer and closer to coming back.
How many pitches did he throw?
Oh, gosh, I don't have the exact number in front of me. I can find that for you in just a second.
You know, the series after the All-Star break is against the Orioles, by the way.
It is, and it's at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you get Mahle back. Maybe you do. He's trending positive. But here was the DeGrom update. So he's nearly 13 months removed from the elbow surgery that ended his first season with the Rangers. He's previously been throwing fastballs in his bullpen session. Bruce Bochy, unable to estimate how many more bullpens DeGrom's going to throw before he can face hitters. But he still needs to work the curveball and the slider back into his arsenal before he can proceed. I think Boach mentioned, like, he's already seen him throw some curves, and it's looking good.
Just kind of one-offs, but not an official bullpen yet? Okay.
So, I mean, I think he's starting to get these. He's ready to rock. It was just a 30-pitch bullpen yesterday at Angel Stadium, so they're slowly working, ramping him back up. But, I mean, Malley started this, and as soon as you start to get DeGrom against hitters, I think you're looking at putting him at AAA Round Rock and getting some rehab assignments done. I mean, we might, if this thing is, if the Rangers stay in this thing, you might be looking at getting DeGrom back in September.
I don't want to spend any games at AAA.
That's what I was saying. Why waste pitches down
there? And maybe
they
go the Eovaldi route.
Yeah.
Where they just say, you know what, dude, we're not doing a rehab start for you.
No.
That could also be a very big possibility.
Yeah, I am not wasting any pitches on minor league players.
The great thing with him is they did the modified Tommy John surgery, which battens down a separate other ligament that the doctor just started doing like 4 years ago. So I think we're going to be good in the Tommy John department and the performance department. I'm just worried about wear and tear, you know, creeping in on his shoulder or his lower back or any number of other things. I think you basically want to treat him like the Cowboys treated Tony Romo and Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
I got no argument there. Malley, in his second rehab start, this one was a Double-A Frisco. 2 innings, 1 hit, 2 Ks. He had 33 pitches, 23 for Ks.
Sunday'd probably be too early.
It probably is.
Unless you were going to use him in like a maximum 4-inning type of deal.
Right. Now, this was not good news, and it's really a tragic story, but the Wander Franco stuff is now finally coming out.
It's sick. You know, it's
disgusting.
It's unbelievable.
He's been formally charged with sexually abusing a 14-year-old girl in the Dominican Republic. Prosecutors decided to press charges 4 days after the initial deadline expired on July 5th, six months after a judge ordered that Franco be investigated in connection with this. He has now been found guilty. So, obviously, his career is done.
600-page report.
Yeah, you're not going to recover from that and be a big leaguer. I think, you know, maybe 10, 20 years in jail. From what I've seen, the law and the sentencing guidelines are more punitive in the Dominican Republic.
Strict.
Yeah, very strict.
Yeah, absolutely. That is really, really sad. And then we did have an immaculate inning today. I mentioned that a little bit earlier.
I watched it without watching it.
Kopech?
Yeah.
Michael Kopech. Yeah,
Michael Kopech of the Chicago White Sox. Pretty badass. Now, ESPN came out today with their first half grades for all 30 teams. What grade are you giving the Rangers?
Barely passing. I'll give it a D-. You know, just not a fail. And
like a hard D.
Yeah. One of those two would work.
What were your expectations? Were you expecting an A?
Well, with the injuries,
I was expecting like a B-.
Yeah. I thought they were always fighting it, but they really made it worse on themselves with some of the performances, you know.
The offense
young
has been
injury.
Terrible.
I felt like they've done the bare minimum. But I think that's exciting.
Is that a C?
No, I think that's a D, at least a D in my. You're 5 games under. You were just double digit games under, and now they're coming on with this late charge that, you know, would prevent it from being an F. I suppose if they win the next 4 and go in on a 9-game winner and at .500, I would consider a C-.
See, I think kind of C is average, and I think if you're .500, you're average, right?
Yeah, they got to win 4 in a row to get there, though.
Maybe like D+. C- right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably a D, and that's exactly what ESPN gives them.
When you're grading on a curve because of expectations, you're the defending champs.
Yeah.
If you're just any random team and you're 4 games below .500,
We were banged up. We're a banged up team.
Yeah.
Our pitching was all banged up.
Yeah, the offense is inexcusable, you know.
We didn't think the offense was going to be
bad. Pitching staff, I'll give a B+, too.
Yeah, pitching's
been good. Offensively, this team's underperformed. I can't go ahead and grade with the curve here. I got to go
pitching,
with the hard D.
Pitching, hitting, D?
F.
F?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Too many, you know, games with 3 runs or less. But, yeah, Yates and Robertson in the pen. I mean, this
terrible.
This is the best pair of late inning relievers we've had, I think, since Nathan and Adams.
Would you say relief pitching A then?
The bullpen, yeah. I'd give like, yeah. I mean,
starting pitching's not been bad.
Starting pitching's been a solid B. I'd probably
Urania go. And those guys. I mean, he filled in.
I mean, Yates has been an A+. Yeah. Robertson, I'd probably give an A to. He did have that one blown save opportunity.
It was cold in Colorado. There.
Yeah, it was. But the hitting's been a damn F, man. I mean, everybody's been. It's a down year for everyone outside of Josh Smith.
How about you? Just a damn F. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, damn F. Hmm. And as a total, your first half grade is a D.
Ooh,
that's what you're getting from me. But the second half grade,
I think they nailed it.
It's going to be an A.
I think so as well.
We'll go win the damn World Series again, Brian. Don't be looking at me like
They've had all these injuries pile up.
I won't ask you to leave a game if that happens.
They decided we're not going to let the injuries beat us, so they kept adding and adding and adding, and now everybody's getting healthy at the right time. They're going to have, like, legit number three and number four starters doing long relief in their bullpen, giving you specialty situations. This team's freaking loaded.
It's going to be. You're right. We don't even need to go buy a lefty in the bullpen. We're going to end up being able to put one of these starters back there.
Damn, Padres need to get their head out of their rear and beat the Mariners.
Yeah,
today.
Come on, San Diego. Can you do something to help us out a little bit?
Please.
Come on, you schmucks. All right, let's get to Jose Bautista, who that's a guy that I don't think any of us like very much, former Blue Jay. And Rougned Odor gave him that two-piece in a soda. Well, he was reminiscing about that day that did not go well for him here in Arlington. Here was Jose Bautista.
It wasn't the best, but because typically in baseball, people don't resort to throwing punches in the game. So it kind of got me a little bit surprised. But again, I'm over it now. I wish I would have handled myself different. We go out there and we have a huge responsibility to be good role models to these kids. And I feel like I could have done definitely some things differently.
Could have been better.
And obviously
fighter.
The result didn't end up in my favor. But at least I wasn't hurt. And I was able to get back and play the next game. So the outcome wasn't what I wanted to be. And again, trust me, I could have slid into his legs and just probably shattered one of them. But I chose to pull my leg back and not hit him. So again, I was trying to send a message because that's at least the way I grew up playing the game. That's what you did. It ended up escalating. Obviously, everybody knows what happened. And again, I would have loved to avoid that part. One, because I didn't want to, who wants to get punched on national TV? But two, again, it just sets the wrong message to those kids that watch us play.
Yeah, I just don't know how you handle it. Yeah.
You know you got punched hard as hell when it's like, hey, man, what about the kids, though, bro?
Yeah, the kids
watching.
Yeah, it's controlled so much.
Those Oakleys went flying off that face. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you handle that question. It's going to stay with you for the rest of your life. Maybe you try to joke a little bit more about it. I don't know. But for me, if I felt like I could actually fight and take on Rugi, we got to have a rematch. We absolutely have to have a rematch, dude, or I'm not answering the question. But if I feel like I might be able to get the best of Rugi, but he sucker punched me, we were supposed to do like the pro athlete standoff, not actually start throwing, I'm going back after him, you know? Okay. Because that's how depressing I think that moment. You can tell it stuck with him for a while.
I wonder if now we can get in these undercards, right? We're doing all these influencer boxing matches. I mean, we've got Le'Veon Bell out here fighting. Can we get Rougned Odor and Jose Bautista on one of these cards?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm sure Rugi would be up for it.
He won't do it for the kids.
Rugi would kick his ass.
Kids.
Like, yes.
Jose would not do this.
He's seen the Rugi highlights from minor league fights by now. He knows he made a giant mistake.
Well,
he
doesn't
know who
he
was on the diamond with.
Donate the money to charity.
Yeah, he's
the kids.
He's not doing it for the kids. He's not getting his ass kicked again for the kids.
Yeah, it's embarrassing when that kind of thing happens on national TV.
It is embarrassing, and you can tell it still haunts him to this day.
I think
trolling for him, man.
I think I would just go with, listen, I didn't know that the shortest guy on the other team happened to be like a gold glove level boxer. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. No, I want nothing to do with Rugi. Yeah.
The best is Adrian Beltre running over and like holding him up, like, dude, you're done here. Okay, yeah. It's over. You don't need to do anything else, man. This is done here. We did have Reds prospect Reese Hines. He made history in his first two major league games. He crushed it. He went 2-for-3 in his debut on Monday. He hit a 421-foot home run as part of a Reds win. Then he raised the bar yesterday. Hits another double, a triple, and a home run that was measured at 458 feet. Had a chance at the cycle in just his second big league game, but he struck out his final trip to the plate. So, hey, the Reds have had some phenoms come up lately.
They
got another one here with Reese Hines on their hands. This is a guy we need to pay attention to, man. That's
Reese
really
Hines,
exciting.
You say?
Reese Hines.
I'll put him on my radar.
Absolutely, as you should. There's Around the Bases, baby.
Thank you, Woolchuck. Brought to you by Uber Eats most evenings at 6 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. We got Jared Sandler coming up at 8 o'clock.
I'm going to ask you this guy's name tomorrow, and I guarantee
you. What's that guy's name?
Yeah, that guy from the Reds, Dawson. Who is it?
He spells Reese weird. It's R-E-C-E.
Oh, he left out an E.
Maybe it's Reche.
Maybe. All right. We'll see.
Derecha.
It's Reche Hines.
We're just getting to know him. Okay, the five Mavs that most benefit.
And forget him.
From we're just getting to know him at the same time. We're just getting to know him.
You know I'm an NL expert, Brian. I don't know why you're coming at me sideways
he
like
is.
This.
Yeah.
Okay, the five Mavs that most benefit from the addition of Clay. That's coming up next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Get Right's coming up at 7 o'clock. You get 1 hour of Right. With Blake Elliott and crew here coming up 7 to 8 here. I saw Reggie in. Is that tonight's configuration? Reggie and Blake for an hour. Oh, no, CA's over there. There he is. I saw CA as well. Okay, so that's coming up 7 to 8. Then Rangers pregame at 8 o'clock, first pitch at 8:38. We have five Dallas Mavericks who benefit the most from the Klay Thompson signing, the trade. We'll get to that right here for you. Thought you'd appreciate a little bit more Mavs content. Very excited right now about the Mavs and what the Rangers have going on, and obviously Cowboys training camp right around the corner. Hopefully we get some surprises from them that can get us more excited and optimistic. You know, I need to see these rookie offensive linemen perform. And then I do think sky's the limit. I do think this team could have a really good year. Okay, a segment of the G-Bag Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Not likely, Brian. I'm going to put this at under 10%. I saw you laughing at me. Under a 10% chance the Cowboys have a great year. But give me good rookies, and I'll have to reconsider everything.
What's that rookie's name from the Reds?
That is Reese Hind. Nailed it.
Pretty much right? Nailed it, yeah.
All right.
H-I-N-D, right?
It's with an S, but it's
Hines.
Okay.
Hines, okay.
You pretty much got
so,
it.
So, like, okay, Scout Gavin.
Yeah.
Scout Gavin.
Why do you have so much contempt in your voice when you say that?
Scout Gavin.
I got cupcakes.
He's got cupcake in his mouth.
My face and stuff like that.
All right.
Blake brought us some cupcakes.
He did.
Yeah.
What a teammate.
He is a teammate.
And I don't know what else. That's okay. Like a fruit quiche.
It was not bad either. I'm just starving right now. So, Scout Gavin. How many practices before you make your declaration on the team? How many practices are you going to watch and you're going to go, oh, this thing's got a chance? Or
it's kind of tough with the Mike McCarthy practices. With Jason Garrett, I feel like I could make the estimation the first time we get one-on-ones.
Yeah.
So it's a harder evaluation. I might need three practices.
Okay, so in like the third practice that we get to watch,
yeah,
you're going to go, this thing's got a shot. Or it's fourth pick.
I might not even watch. I might just ask you how good Beebe and Guyton are, you know?
I think Scout Gavin is usually good with the offensive linemen.
Yeah, I am.
I think you need to tell us how Beebe and Guyton are playing.
Okay, all right. That's it.
I want you to
just
watch.
Don't say anything bad about Beebe because I'll punch you in the face.
I want you to watch two players. We'll handle everything else.
There we go.
I want you to evaluate two players.
I like where this is headed. Yeah. I'll accept that assignment with vigor. Okay, I'm going to get the job done for you, Brian. I'm going to make you proud.
Vigor.
I'll
buy you a poke bowl for your scouting efforts.
I'll be your latest and perhaps least likely scout project, scout pupil.
I will say this: you're probably the most honest scout.
Thank you.
Because you'll go watch seven plays. This guy, I don't think he could play.
Yeah, watched his highlights on the way over here. I had high hopes for him.
I watched three games of this guy. Dawson comes in there. I don't know, man. I did five plays. I just kind of feel like this guy can't play.
I tried to tell you about Terrence Steele.
You do know after like a few plays. It's like,
you know what?
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
You're not wrong about that.
But you can kind of tell sometimes.
You are
like,
not wrong.
Not good.
And I always told Jeff and KT and those guys, like, hey, you got to give them their due.
Yeah.
But by about the 12th play, you're kind of like, because KT was the worst at that. KT would come up with some.
Yeah, I still would lean
tiny with the running back from some place, and you'd like
even though
he's like, the scouts are talking about this guy.
This team
and
ends
like,
up looking like which I think scouts end up in the top. 10,
like we'd right? watch 12 plays, and
if that's the case.
Jeff would already be into like his
confident
fourth like Reese's peanut butter cup by the time he's like, he'd stop watching. Jeff would just completely KT would put and Jeff would just quit.
He starts playing Pokemon Go.
He would start eating candy.
That's what they're
going to just start eating candy. And when you knew he was eating candy, that's when it was over.
There's a lot to be desired.
I appreciate Dawson. You'll say Pro Football Focus.
You know, and sometimes I'm off on him. Like I was surprised at how dominant Tyler Smith is, but I told you he can't play tackle. Okay, I'm gonna hold to that. I think you got an All Pro at guard. got a project to tackle. And so I think the Cowboys are making the right decision there. The segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, not your fault, call the Frankels. 214-817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. The 903 says already written off the Cowboys for this year. It's going to be bad and have already embraced it. I would just say you can bring expectations down a little bit, but I don't think you can totally flush it. The Cowboys never commit to a full rebuild. Like, if they were rebuilding, maybe they would trade a Micah Parsons, say, we need draft picks for the future. But they want to remain a great show on Sundays. And as long as that is the case, they're not willing to commit to the full rebuild that would, you know, I think get them closer to a championship. This team's going to win between 8 and 10 games and perhaps be playing for the division in December. I think that's all they want out of it.
You guys look at the text. I don't, because I'm not going to let these people ruin my day. I'm an old man. But can I do a in or out on the Cowboys? Just fan.
Yeah, sure.
Just say,
in and out.
Just say, because I feel like this is the year where Cowboy fans.
This is our year?
No.
More cynical than
than
I think
ever,
at any point
than
since,
ever. Yeah. I've done so many podcasts now, in the fan, in like, and when we post them, fans are like, "It doesn't matter, Broadus. It doesn't, you know." And so I just, if fans would just text in or out,
yeah.
And I'd be interested to see if you guys tell me where the results go on that.
We will get to those here in just a moment.
Is this basketball segment we're trying to do right now?
We'll do like 3 minutes of hoop.
Okay.
We'll do 3 minutes of hoop because this Cowboys conversation is interesting. I like what you did there with the text.
Yeah.
We go to Smoking Cuban, 5 Mavs who benefit the most from the Klay Thompson edition. PJ Washington makes the list. He shot 47% from 3 in the OKC series. He was knocking down 4 threes per game. He was the Mavs' third scorer in that series. He excelled in his role.
Yeah.
While Washington had a great series, the following two were not as great. 3-point shooting plummeted. Doubts arose. With Klay joining the team, Washington will be the team's 4th or 5th option on offense, and that's much more fitting for him.
Yeah, it seems that way, and I think the stage became a little too big for him at the end.
Yeah.
Could be.
But you it's maybe
first time.
Maybe that's voyage. What I'm saying. It got a little tight.
Yeah,
got a little tight.
I love the idea of Klay being a great shooter from the entire 3-point arc.
Yeah, that guy's not going to be tight.
You got to defend above the break against him. Maybe PJ can settle into that corner even against elite defenses like Boston. Derek Lively II is number 4 on this list.
Oh, I'm getting his jersey.
I bet you will.
I'm gonna wear his jersey at the games with my media credential.
What you got to do with Lively now, though, is play 5 out. Get everybody out of there. Totally free up the lane. Ask him to shoot some threes. And then I think the pick and roll game is going to be even more dynamic. When you have a guy like Klay out there instead of Derrick Jones Jr., you can't, you know, take anybody. It is going to make it maybe the best offense in the NBA.
It's going to be so special to watch. And Lively is sensational. At 20 years old, the leadership that he's already shown.
And he's just scratching. It wasn't too big for him.
No. He got better every game in the finals.
He learned about foul trouble.
He sure did. Like, game one was a little rough.
He learned how to play.
He figured it out. He's going to be so good.
It's all about creating space and denying space. And, you know, Klay's going to benefit everybody. Luka, number 3 on the list, no doubt about it. I mean, the room to operate in the lane, but also his assist number should increase pretty good. Kyrie Irving, I mean, you had the Thunder series where they just constantly double-teamed him and tried to completely take him out again with Klay Thompson, at least in the 25 to 32 minutes he's going to play. That'll be huge. And then maybe my favorite newcomer of all, and there was a lot of great newcomers on this Mavericks team this year to appreciate, but Daniel Gafford. Number 1 on the list, just like Lively. Gafford's at his best when he receives a pass towards the rim. Thompson talked about how these two bigs are going to fit with him well during the press conference, getting on the same page early. You know, Klay Thompson was a double-double point guard at Washington State University 15 years ago. And that's one of the great things. You know, you've looked at some really good 3-and-D wings like Jones Jr., like Dorian Finney-Smith, like Bullock, but none of them are going to be able to make that pass. And then if they're getting closed out on or something appears, be able to make that next pass down into the paint for dunks. You know, Lively and Gafford should both go up tremendously there, because it's not just the point guard or Kyrie Kyrie or Luka who can now get you involved. It's going to be, I think, both your guys in the wing. P.J. Washington's an underrated passer as well. Okay, are you in or out on this Cowboys season? 972 says in. I'm a fan for life. I do have to say that, you know, as disappointing and as cynical as we can be, they still have the FOMO factor. The Cowboys are so important to the culture, to the fan base, to just the people of Texas, that I still think they're good enough that you won't stop watching. And that's really what ultimately...
I just get the feeling there's a lot of these fans that you're talking about, they've had enough.
They're really not going to watch?
Well, I just don't think they're as committed as they once were. I think 30 years is hardened a lot of people in that way.
Yeah, you know what it is, and I'll speak for myself here because I'm that guy, right? I am like a diehard Cowboy fan. I'm always going to be in. I'm always going to be committed and watch every single game, regardless of if I was doing this or not.
You were hurt after that San Francisco playoff game. You were hurt after the Green Bay game.
But I don't have any positive expectations. I'm not expecting them to be a winning team.
Oh, wow.
The text is insane. 469 out with like 20 exclamation points. Wow. Then one says in. Then 214 says in. But then you get out, 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 out. 817 was in for 36 years of my life. This year I'm out, 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 way out from the 214.
Wow.
All the way out, Krusty. Can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Out, then an in. Out. 817, I already canceled my TV.
Damn.
817, way, 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 way out. Out. Out, but I'm still going to watch, says the 817. Okay. That's when I want to know who's out and definitely not watching. Been out for 10 years, says the 972, and tired of Cowboys talk. Yeah. Wow.
That was the one that probably sent the tweet to us about need to talk more about the Rangers and the Mavs, which is cool. We love talking about them, too.
I do like talking Mavs and Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go out, in, out, in. 214 says Super Bowl or bust, likely bust again. So I don't know if they really answer that question. Yeah. Three in a row, out, out, out.
Yeah.
Always in. Football is not the same without the Cowboys, even if their trash media is all over them. Jerry and Steven have become Al and Mark Davis. They're not that bad. You know, I think that's the frustrating thing is, you know, they're not so bad that it takes away their ability to still be the ratings juggernaut that they are, because they run it from such a money standpoint. Their emphasis, the thing they're not going to sacrifice, is the ability to make money. And when you send everything through that filter, then I think it really takes away from your ability to win.
I appreciate everybody answering the question, by the way. Thank you.
But if they would fully go bad, then they would have to take that hard look in the mirror. Like when Jerry first bought the team, it was like, okay, we have to make money. And in order to do that, we have to win big. But those three championships in 4 years have now put them in a spot. They have that happen while sports talk radio and sports center is exploding and the NFL takes over NBA and MLB as the most popular sport in America. And somehow that's locked in multiple generations now for three decades.
Yeah.
I don't know if that changes until they go on a true Al and Mark Davis run where they're barely a playoff team, like Washington Commanders bad.
Yeah.
Hopefully that would make Jerry or Steven or Jerry Jr. or Shy or whoever say, hey, maybe we should have a real GM who's in charge of just winning and we'll handle the business stuff. Yeah. 214, I'm out as in not buying merch or even supporting their sponsors. See, that's going next level. Not watching, not buying merch, actively not supporting their sponsors. Yeah, that's walking the walk, I think, with, you know, asking them to change the way they go about doing things.
I just felt like going into this training camp, that was the vibe. You know, when you say you do enough of this media things that we've been doing, you get a feel if people care, and then you get I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to have my heart ripped out.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It is.
I think the worst thing is when the apathy starts to happen. Mm. You know, like I've lost hope and I don't want to watch. And when you get to that point, you know, that's when the TV ratings would go down. I think that's actually what we want. You know, I think and it sucks because in sports radio land, you know, we benefit from the passion and the interest of the team. And there's no doubt going to be a lot of that. But, you know, I think if you could remain engaged and vocal, you know, with your displeasure with how this sports team is run, it's not that viable to split your priorities from the main decision makers and expect to beat guys who are obsessed with this game. Brian, I'll tell you how obsessed, like, true football people that are passionate and are living on a daily basis are.
Right.
And if you're in it for the lifestyle and you're kind of semi-retired and you're also running like 800 different businesses at the same time, you're going on vacation during free agency, you like the lifestyle of being an owner more than you're obsessed with trying to produce a quality football team. And I think the only way to get through that is to hit rock bottom. And rock bottom, I think, starts with an offseason like this where people were disappointed enough.
They are disappointed.
And they don't see a positive fork in the road happening. Okay, I'll watch them, says the 817. I will not buy their merch.
Mm.
Okay. I'll watch, says the 817, but have not bought any Cowboys merchandise for over 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, appreciate that. Bleep Jerry, says the 806. Out, but still watching their games. See, I think it's such an important piece of, you know, the pop culture, the news events, that, you know, people still want to talk about it. They still want to have an opinion about it when they get together with their friends.
That's what I worry about, though, too. Are the locked-in yeses not going to tune in to us when we have to be critical of the team? That's what I worry about.
I mean, I don't understand how you can be, if you're a locked in yes and you say you're a true fan, somebody being critical of the team.
People might say, hey, I love this team so much, I don't want to hear Broadus talk negatively about them.
Oh, all right.
That's what I worry about.
That's fine. And there are probably people out there, but I think that's got to be a very, very small population, because it's somebody that loves the Cowboys, and I always will, no matter how much pain and how hurt I am from them. I think that it's totally fair to be critical, because what's gone on for the last 30 years.
Some people just don't want to hear it.
It's bullcrap, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not, I don't know how you can be the only team outside of Washington that is a dumpster fire organization to not make a conference championship, and you want to call yourself a true fan, and that's okay. It's not okay. Hold yourself and hold your team to a higher standard. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And when we're critical of them, that's all we're being.
Parents are oftentimes very critical of their children because they love them and they want the best for them. You know, maybe their criticism, you know, borders on toxic at times, or it's overly negative. But that's the reality of life. We're, I think, the most critical about the things that we care the most about. 214 says, I'm locked into the fan because you're critical and honest.
Okay.
You know,
that's cool. Because, like I say, I worry about that hardcore fan that's like, man, I just don't want to hear them talk. I love this team so much that I don't want to hear any negative talk about
it. That's why you're doing radio and they're doing the coaching.
Yeah.
Are you embarrassed?
Well played, Luce. Well
Mike
played.
Bassick asked Jerry that day. We were live at Premier Grilling. He asked Jerry, how can you see any similarities between your offense and what the L.A. Rams did, I think, in Sunday Night Football?
Yeah.
And they'd put up 40 points a game, you know, McVay and Todd Gurley, and everything was going crazy there with the Rams. And Jerry suggested that certainly there were a lot of similarities, that Mike just couldn't recognize them because he's on the radio.
I didn't say that.
The genius of Jason Garrett and everything going with the offense.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, we're back to Crosstalk with the Get Right. Reggie and CA coming up next here with you on the Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Get Right's coming up next. I think I finally got the configuration right. CA and Blake here.
It's fungible.
For the next hour, 7 to 8, Rangers pregame coming up at 8 o'clock. How the hell are you guys doing?
Doing great. We were talking yesterday. Brian tipped us off that you got to talk to Fred Davis, the newest member of the family here, the newest talk show host.
Yeah,
here. But
surprise.
You did not know. Blake knew, but you did not know because you guys were at Moxie's.
Yeah.
And you didn't see who you were talking to. And Fred thought you knew. And so y'all having a conversation and you're like shrugging your shoulders. Like,
I was like, who's
this?
Fred?
Who is this guy?
I was only gone 2 weeks. We got Reggie replaced, apparently.
No, he's actually going to see Reg and Fred tomorrow. You will actually see Fred face to face in this building tomorrow. He'll be in with Reggie tomorrow.
I think, look forward to meeting him.
I think Blake is a questionable teammate.
Yeah.
I do.
He set you laid up. Out a little bit there.
Yeah, I think he did, Dawson. I think
he's entertaining really, himself instead
exactly.
of the audience.
He had the mic away and he's laughing, knowing exactly what
he's
was about to
right
happen.
Now.
Were you guys watching me on the webcam, my reaction?
I was.
Like,
I
what's going on?
And when you said, Blake, are you there? I was trying not to laugh. Like,
Blake, are you there?
I was like, yep.
Save me. Life raft, please.
Yeah, that was it was great, though. And welcome to the team to Fred. I thought he did some tremendous broadcasting from what I could tell.
He's a really nice guy.
Pretty good hire.
Real nice guy.
Okay, we were just talking in or out on the Cowboys. How do you guys vote on that one?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about this. For the last 2 years, I would tweet out after the Cowboys had some kind of heartbreaking loss. I would tweet this out and it would go viral. It'd always get about 5,000 likes. Hmm. And the posts were just insane. The question was always, how many of you will admit that you have a toxic relationship with the Dallas Cowboys? And they would all say, I do. And they would give you all the toxic, you know, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, the words and stuff. I can't let him
slam
go.
In the toilet
they
seat.
Beat me up all the time, but I just can't let him go. That kind of stuff. Yep. And that's the deal. They have this relationship that doesn't make sense, so it's toxic.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of sports fans are like that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the cynicism is high, but when the game is on, it's a Sunday afternoon, you watch football, it's going to be what you do.
I just think it's how emotionally attached are you to the team right now. And unsimilar to dissimilar, not similar. I'm trying
dissimilar?
To think of a, dissimilar? I'm trying to think of a better phrase to put that up.
That's when you need Reggie.
Reggie will
Where's
come
the
with
nerds with words?
Fill in the blank.
I'm just not emotionally attached to the team. I think I'm here for the vibes now. They brought Zeke back. Hey, it's going to be fun. Man. They're going to have Dak and Zeke, maybe one last hoorah off into the sunset. Zeke, maybe retirement. Dak, maybe another team. I'm all hypothesizing. But I just don't expect anything. I had a friend ask me, because you're definitely, when the Cowboys lose, you're going to be all mad. And this, I'm like, no, I'm going to watch the game. If they win, I'll be happy.
Did you go through a 12-step program?
I went cold turkey.
That's easy to say on July 10th, Blake. I'll circle back on January the 13th.
I'll be honest. I was sitting right next to Chris Arnold and Brian Broaddus. And when they were getting smacked by Green Bay and I heard the Green Bay scouts tapping the table, jumping up and down, I said, I'm done. Yeah, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Like
my God.
Sitting there
that was bad.
And just watching and everyone
just
else
like,
have fun.
Yeah. I thought you disconnected.
You're like,
Aaron Jones, his fifth touchdown of the game. Yeah.
Of the half.
I bet you're going to be like Bad Baby, though. Like, no, we don't have to press charges anymore. My eye's going to be fine. It was a misunderstanding.
I'm just
He's going to get some help.
I'm just going to enjoy the vibe. I hope Zeke and Dak have a bunch of laughs, and I'll be on the social media side of it, just seeing the fun. The football side of it, I expect nothing.
So
I
you're
really
saying
don't.
You're not going to call the police on the Cowboys?
No. Nope, the police, why would they answer? Why would they answer if you that's
to save
crying
you from
wolf.
Yourself?
That's
oh, I thought
wolf.
With you now being a locker room fixture, that you would just, that's why you disconnected.
Both. It helps. Objectivity definitely helps. Neutral. Mm-hmm. Neutralness.
Neutrality.
Neutrality. Mm-hmm. I like that one right there. Me and Alec had a show. We were trying to use the biggest words we could possibly for the rest of the show. So I might do that today with CA. I might just throw out a bunch of big words, expand my vernacular.
Oh, I've got a big word sentence for you. You want me to use it?
Go ahead.
I want to know your thoughts about life in the beginning as it manifests itself through the eternal complexities of renunciation as opposed to the juxtaposition of the inferior mind.
Okay, the only question I have on there is renunciation. What does that mean? I don't know what that part means.
That whole sentence is nonsense. Richard Pryor said it on an album back in the day.
Hey,
and I memorized
actually,
it's
going to be a Jim Rohn minute.
Yeah, really? Boy, that was a word salad, wasn't it?
You know what? Speaking of, yesterday we had a really good crosstalk, didn't we?
It was a good one.
It was a good one.
Are you trying to say this one's not good?
No.
Are you saying because Dawson wasn't here?
I am not saying
I'm here for the vibes, Blake.
I am not saying that Are Dawson you, I mean, is
I can,
currently
I can
here.
Leave every day at 6:35.
Don't tempt Gavin with a good time now.
You see, Blake, for that's content. When you get out of here.
Dawson is currently here. I was just saying yesterday was also a good
He laid out on you, Dawson. Uh-huh. He laid
know.
Out.
You know
and
what?
That's
been a bad team today, Dawson. This is twice in a row.
I think Jason Garrett sabotage is happening here.
Oh, no.
I was wondering why he carried that dagger.
Just if you ever do need to leave, we held down the fort. That's I should have laid down like that.
I'm proud of you, Blake.
We held down the floor.
I didn't do anything. Much better than the previous two phenoms.
I didn't do anything. I just listened to them.
At least they got you on air.
I just sat there.
Oh, right on. Well, what do we have to tease coming up in the show?
We've got a new member of the Olympic men's basketball team.
Oh.
Kawhi has stepped out.
Yep,
and we're going to talk about some of that. We also got the NBA TV deals, the streaming services deals all taken money. Care of. Yeah. We're going to also talk about, did you hear about the Jordan Lewis story?
Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah. Great trash talker.
Yeah, the trash talker. We're going to talk about
that a
little bit.
At least when he plays the Lions.
And, of course, we're going to talk about Adolis Garcia and El Bambi.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Home run derby.
All righty, here comes the Get Right with your guy Blake and CA. We'll be rocking the house.
That was one to take me out right there.
7-8.
Fred Davis.
Garcia in the home run derby. Greg Berhalter fired. That was the other breaking news story. So the soccer community is fired up about the possibility of getting Jurgen Klopp or Zinedine Zidane or one of the great coaches out there around the world that could help take this team to the top, hosting the World Cup in 2 years. You need a great coach, and a celebrity coach wouldn't hurt either. Okay, for Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup at Master Control, for Carter Freeman coordinating your video, you can watch us at 105.thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Wolchuk and Broadus, I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation, Eddie. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Get Right's coming up next. I think I finally got the configuration right. CA and Blake here.
It's fungible.
For the next hour, 7-8, Rangers pregame coming up at 8 o'clock. How the hell are you guys doing?
Doing great. We were talking yesterday. Brian tipped us off that you got to talk to Fred Davis, the newest member of the family here, the newest talk show host.
Yeah,
here.
That was
a surprise. But you did not know. Blake knew, but you did not know because you guys were at Moxie's.
Yeah.
And you didn't see who you were talking to. And Fred thought you knew. And so y'all having a conversation and you're like shrugging your shoulders. Like,
I was like, who's Fred?
Who is this guy?
I was only gone 2 weeks. We got Reggie replaced, apparently.
No, he's actually going to see Reg and Fred tomorrow. You will actually see Fred face-to-face in this building tomorrow. He'll be in with Reggie tomorrow.
I think, look forward to meeting him.
I think Blake is a questionable teammate.
Yeah.
I do.
He set you
laid out a little bit there.
I think he did, Dawson. I think
he's entertaining himself instead
exactly.
of the audience.
He had the mic away, and he's laughing, knowing exactly what
he's
was about to
right
happen.
Now.
Were you guys watching me on the webcam, my reaction?
I was.
Like, what's going on?
And when you said, Blake, are you there? I was trying not to laugh.
Blake, are you there?
I was like, yep.
Save me. Life raft, please.
Yeah, that was it was great, though. And welcome to the team to Fred. I thought he did some tremendous broadcasting, from what I could tell.
He's a really nice guy.
Pretty good hire.
Real nice guy.
Okay, we were just talking in or out on the Cowboys. How do you guys vote on that one?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about this. For the last 2 years, I would tweet out after the Cowboys had some kind of heartbreaking loss. I would tweet this out and it would go viral. It'd always get about 5,000 likes. Hmm. And the posts were just insane. The question was always, how many of you will admit that you have a toxic relationship with the Dallas Cowboys? And they would all say, I do. And they would give you all the toxic, you know, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, the words and stuff. I can't let him
slamming
go.
The toilet
they
seat.
Beat me up all the time, but I just can't let him go. That kind of stuff. Yep. And that's the deal. They have this relationship that doesn't make sense, so it's toxic.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of sports fans are like that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the cynicism is high, but when the game is on, it's a Sunday afternoon, you watch football, it's going to be what you do.
I just think it's how emotionally attached are you to the team right now. And unsimilar to dissimilar, not similar. I'm trying
dissimilar?
To think of a, dissimilar? I'm trying to think of a better phrase to put that up.
That's when you need Reggie.
Reggie will
Where's
come
the
with
nerds with words?
Fill in the blank.
I'm just not emotionally attached to the team. I think I'm here for the vibes now. They brought here Zeke back. Hey, it's going to be fun.
Man.
They're going to have Dak and Zeke, maybe one last hoorah off into the sunset. Zeke, maybe retirement. Dak, maybe another team. I'm all hypothesizing. But I just don't expect anything. I had a friend ask me, because you're definitely, when the Cowboys lose, you're going to be all mad. And this, I'm like, no, I'm going to watch the game. If they win, I'll be happy.
Did you go through a 12-step program?
I went cold turkey.
That's easy to say on July 10th, Blake. I'll circle back on January the 13th.
I'll be honest. I was sitting right next to Chris Arnold and Brian Broaddus. And when they were getting smacked by Green Bay and I heard the Green Bay scouts tapping the table, jumping up and down, I said, I'm done. Yeah, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Like
my
sitting
God.
There
that was bad.
And just watching and everyone
just
else
like,
have fun.
Yeah.
I thought you disconnected.
You're like, Aaron Jones, his fifth touchdown of the game. Yeah.
Of the half.
I bet you're going to be like Bad Baby, though. Like, no, we don't have to press charges anymore. My eye's going to be fine. It was a misunderstanding.
I'm just
He's going to get some help.
I'm just going to enjoy the vibe. I hope Zeke and Dak have a bunch of laughs, and I'll be on the social media side of it, just seeing the fun. The football side of it, I expect nothing.
So
I
you're
really
saying
don't.
You're not going to call the police on the Cowboys?
No. Nope, the police, why would they answer? Why would they answer if you that's
to save
crying
you from
wolf.
Yourself?
That's
oh, I thought
wolf.
With you now being in a locker room fixture that you would just, that's why you disconnected.
Both. It helps. Objectivity definitely helps. Neutral. Mm-hmm. Neutralness.
Neutrality.
Neutrality. Mm-hmm. I like that one right there. Me and Alec had a show. We were trying to use the biggest words we could possibly for the rest of the show. So I might do that today with CA. I might just throw out a bunch of big words, expand my vernacular.
I've got a big word sentence for you. You want me to use it?
Go ahead.
I want to know your thoughts about life in the beginning as it manifests itself through the eternal complexities of renunciation as opposed to the juxtaposition of the inferior mind.
Okay, the only question I have on there is renunciation. What does that mean? I don't know what that part means.
That whole sentence is nonsense. Richard Pryor said it on an album back in the day.
Hey, and I memorized actually, it's going to be a Jim Rohn minute.
Yeah, really? Boy, that was a word salad, wasn't it?
You know what? Speaking of, yesterday we had a really good crosstalk, didn't we?
It was a good one.
It was a good one.
Are you trying to say this one's not good?
No.
Are you saying because Dawson wasn't here?
I am not saying
I'm here for the vibes, Blake.
I am not saying that Dawson is currently here.
I can leave every day at 6:35.
Don't tempt Gavin with a good time now.
You see Blake for content.
Dawson is currently here. I was just saying yesterday was also a good crosstalk.
He laid out on you, Dawson. Uh-huh. He laid out.
You know what? I'm being a bad team right now. This is twice in a row.
I think Jason Garrett sabotage is happening here.
Oh, no.
I was wondering why he carried that dagger.
Just if you ever do need to leave, we held down the fort. I should have laid down.
I'm proud of you, Blake.
We held down the floor. I didn't do anything.
Much better than the previous two phenoms.
I didn't do anything. I just listened to this.
At least they got you on air.
I just sat there.
Oh, right on. Well, what do we have to tease coming up in the show?
We've got a new member of the Olympic men's basketball team.
Oh.
Kawhi has stepped out. Yep. And we're going to talk about some of that. We also got the NBA TV deals, the streaming services deals taken care of. Yeah. We're going to also talk about, did you hear about the Jordan Lewis story?
Yeah, yes. Great trash talker.
Yeah, the trash talker. We're going to talk about
that a
little bit.
At least when he plays the Lions.
And, of course, we're going to talk about Adolis Garcia and El Bambi.
Yeah, that's a great
story. Home run derby.
All righty, here comes the Get Right with your guy Blake and CA. We'll be rocking the house.
That was one to take me out right there.
7-8.
Fred Davis.
Garcia in the home run derby. Greg Berhalter fired. That was the other breaking news story. So the soccer community is fired up about the possibility of getting Jurgen Klopp or Zinedine Zidane or one of the great coaches out there around the world that could help take this team to the top, hosting the World Cup in 2 years. You need a great coach, and a celebrity coach wouldn't hurt either. Okay, for Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup at Master Control, for Carter Freeman coordinating your video, you can watch us at 105.thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Wolchuk and Broadus, I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation, Eddie.